Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
Hello, friends, and we are so glad that you've joined us again for another St. Andrew's podcast as we are enjoying some May weather. I feel as though here in Oklahoma, our May weather has been very nice so far. Lots of times we never know we're going to get May.
I was going to say, we had one stormy day last week, and that was kind of it.
I know, and I think we're going to get some cooler weather here soon, and that's just kind of great. We got to enjoy it while it lasts, but I'm telling you what, I love the sunshine. The sun is good for our souls, and we've been having fun in this series that we're in, but before we dive into that, I just want to know, Pastor D.A., how are you?
You know, I'm doing good. I actually was brushing my teeth this morning.
And well, that's good.
And it's always, yeah, sitting across the table from even at safe social distance, I would hate to blast you with halitosis.
Right.
So,
right.
But I was thinking, as always, my friend, my colleague, you know,
yes.
It's like, this is my podcast partner.
That's because, right.
You know, that's it right there. Stephanie Greenwald, my podcast partner.
That's right. We're podcast buddies. Mm-hmm, that's so true. Well, it's hard to believe we've been doing this podcast now for
almost a
year and a half.
Holy cow.
I know, every week,
wow.
And people are still listening.
Yeah.
We're so glad that you are. So as we dive into this series today, we've been doing 3 weeks so far of Name That Tune, and it has been so much fun to take a little closer look at the songs that mean so much to our faith. Of course, here at St. Andrew's, we really are more of a contemporary style church, have a band and worship on Sunday mornings. We really enjoy doing some hymns at our early service when we're able to meet like that, which of course we're not meeting in person right now, but really more focused on contemporary worship. But we thought that today it would be really fun to look at a hymn.
Right.
And this hymn is probably one that most of our listeners may not know.
You know, and for those of you that are listening, what happened, as soon as we finished recording the last podcast, Stephanie and I looked at each other and we said, should we do a hymn next week? And we were agreeing to do a hymn. And I just said, well, let's do your favorite hymn. What's your favorite hymn? And I confess, I was not prepared for your answer.
Right, exactly, because it's one that is really not done hardly ever. But what did I say to you?
You just looked at me and cocked your head to the side, and you said, my favorite hymn is Lord of the Dance. And I probably went back in my seat like, wow.
What?
Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah.
And you said, oh, yeah, I remember growing up, and, you know, Dad would say, you know, what song do we want to sing? And I was always 261.
That's
and
right.
I will let you know I checked that out because I was wanting to look at the song again.
Yeah.
I got out of hymnal, and it was 261.
Yep.
So your
there
memory is good. Your brain is fine. Don't let anyone question your mental health at this time.
Well, I don't know. They might be able to. But it was so fun as you asked me that question, I thought, wow, it just like a whole host of memories came back because, of course, many of you know my dad is a retired Methodist pastor, and I grew up most of my growing up years in Leawood, Kansas, at Leawood United Methodist Church, where Dad was the senior pastor, and he loved music. In fact, his undergraduate degree is in choral conducting, and
I think you told me that before, but I've forgotten that.
Yeah, and so at our household, it was all about music, and he taught us how to play the piano. I played the handbells. We always sang in the choir. He always gave us great opportunities to sing together as a family. And so I always thought that if the whole pastor thing didn't work out for him, that we were just going to take the family on the road,
you know, with
the guitar and the keyboard and the singers. And
But
fortunately, we never had to do that. But Dad would always do what we liked to call hymn sings at church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the evening, sometimes we would get together for a revival or for special events. And ahead of that, he would do a hymn sing, and I used to love it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking elementary age, middle school age. We had this incredible organist at our church. Now, the church I grew up in, at that time, it was kind of before contemporary music really took off. But Dad loved all kinds of music. But we would do hymns. We would do more contemporary style hymns.
And praise choruses.
Praise choruses,
yeah, praise
exactly.
Choruses.
And this organist piano player that we had at the church was amazing. She was one of those people that you could just, you know, throw out a tune and she could play the whole thing on the piano or the organ. And so he would just let people call out numbers. teachers. And I remember in elementary school, I felt like such an important person when I would stand up and call out 261. And Phyllis, our organist, would just go right into playing this beautiful arrangement. We all sing it so loud. But part of the reason I love this hymn is because it tells the story of our Savior. And anytime we tell the story of Christ, like, that's what our lives are all about. I love it.
Right. And it's a simplicity of helping you to remember it.
Yes.
You know, some people, if they are know the song, it's easy to actually memorize.
Yes.
Which helps you to know the story of Christ.
It
and
does.
Again, that was the purpose of hymns when they were written. Mm-hmm. It was to teach people the Bible, teach people good, solid theology.
Yeah.
And this song does that.
It really does. And I just love it too. And I love the idea as we get into the chorus, it talks a lot more about how what we are a part of is the dance, and that God is the Lord of the dance. And
right.
So we're going to talk about what the dance is here in just a minute. But this is a very upbeat song.
Mm-hmm.
D.A. and I were talking earlier that it's very much a folk tune, and it just keeps you going. It's like having a dance. So what other thoughts do you have and memories do you have of this
song? You know, the first time I heard this song, and it's just one of those memories kind of ingrained in my brain, it was in 1978. It was right before my senior year of high school, and I went to a church camp that was designed for training leaders and how youth could be leaders in their local church. And we sang that song that week, and of course, I fell in love with the song.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great song. And it was one of those things, like, gosh, I wish we could sing songs like that in church, because you didn't do that. You had your church songs that were in your hymnal, but then you had camp songs.
Uh-huh.
And so Lord of the Dance was a camp song.
Yep.
And then 10 years later, the United Methodist Church decided it was time for us to print a new hymnal and update our hymnal.
Yep.
And I was stunned to see that Lord of the Dance was put in the hymnal. I was glad to see it in there. But it's like, well, how can you sing that in church? That, you know, we sing with the organ and piano.
Right.
Can't we sing it with a guitar?
Right, exactly.
How's that going to work?
How's that work?
That whole transition of stuff.
Yeah.
I actually did a little research because I was curious, when was the song written?
Yeah.
1968.
Uh-huh.
And so when I heard it, it was already 10 years old.
Yeah.
And again, a different context in history.
Mm-hmm.
It was still a new song.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard it at camp in 78, but a lot of people didn't hear it till 88.
Right.
And so it was still this new song. And what is so unusual about that is in the history of hymns, we think of hymns as things that are hundreds of years old. All the Charles Wesley hymns that were written in the 18th century, and even some of the gospel tunes that we grew up with were written in the early part of the 20th century.
Right.
And now here we are in the 21st century, and so this, I mean, this puppy's 52 years old. It's not even as old as I am, so,
right.
You know, we're doing great stuff here.
Yeah, it's so, so good. And so I will be curious for our listeners to look this hymn up later. Make sure that you actually put in the hymn, because there are other more contemporary
Stephen Curtis
songs.
Chapman had a whole album called Lord of the Dance.
Yeah, but totally different song. So make sure that you're putting in him when you want to do this. But so let's dive into the lyrics here, because it's so good, because the first verse really starts out with the beginning of time.
Right.
And it moves through Jesus and what Jesus did, his crucifixion on the cross, his resurrection, and then how we are supposed to live. And one of the things that's so great about hymns, we always joke that contemporary songs can go on and on and on forever.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, I mean, hymns have so many verses.
Right.
And they can go on and on forever.
Yeah, this is, what, a five-verse song?
It is. It's a five-verse hymn with choruses to be sung in between every
right.
verse. So this one can last for a while. But the first verse says,
I danced
in the
morning
when the world was begun.
Yeah, we left that off our notes, friends. That's why I was helping her.
Thank you so much, because I'm like, that's not how that starts. Yep. Okay, so it says, I danced in the morning when the world was begun. I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem, I had my birth. So tell me your thoughts on this verse.
That one verse covers, you know, what, 4,000 years of history,
right, exactly.
as we know, I think. But, you know, I danced in the morning when the world was begun. So that takes us all the way back to Genesis 1.
Yeah.
And this really is an affirmation of the triune nature of God
yes.
being present in creation. One person, but God in three persons,
one God,
but
yes.
blessed Trinity, one God.
Yes.
And it and it just it says, here I was in creation, and then it skips like Genesis chapter 3 through Malachi in the intertestamental
exactly.
period and jumps right to the beginning of the Gospels.
Yeah.
And so I like to say it goes from creation to incarnation.
Yeah.
But again, the movement that we have there is really critical. That before there was time, before mm-hmm. there was creation, before there was anything else, God was. That's just
yes.
a foundational
yep.
faith statement that we believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just comes to, you know, it skips all of our the sinfulness and the ugliness and all that.
Yeah.
I guess we have to assume that as part of the story.
Right.
But it really is, this is where I was. But you know what? I came to earth.
Yeah.
And I danced on the earth. Mm-hmm. And I interacted with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it started because I was born in Bethlehem. And again, if you want to really dive deep, what does that mean? At Bethlehem, I had my birth. If
yeah.
I always was there with the sun and the moon and the stars,
yes,
you know.
Yes, yes.
So,
yeah.
Again, it's a song that it's simple, it's fun to sing, but you have to stop and think.
Yeah.
For those of us in the church, we don't stop and think about it because mm-hmm. we have grown up or we've been around long enough that we just kind of inhabit that.
Yeah.
But if we're having to explain this to somebody who's not a believer,
yeah.
we have to know the backstory and how to
yes.
do that. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, part of the reason I love this song so much is the enthusiastic nature of God that
yes.
we see in this. Because they could have just said, I was there in the morning when the world was begun. I made the moon and the stars and the sun. You
yeah.
get a totally different feeling than I danced in the morning when the world was begun. I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. It's this idea that when you're dancing, there's an energy that is happy and
a
joyful. And it's
yeah.
yes, it's celebratory. And I love it that throughout this entire song, we see that version of God, this version of God that never gets tired, that never grows weary.
Right.
He's always filled with joy that then he spreads to other people. So I love that. But then when we go into the chorus, and I love the chorus, and it says, dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
Yeah.
And that's so beautiful because here we see that he's incorporating us into his dance. It's
right.
not something we started. It's not something we initiated, but it's something he's done that he wants us to be a part of in this joyful, celebratory experience of life. Like, that's such a good word.
Yeah, well, and just that one line, I'll lead you all wherever you
wherever.
May be.
Yep.
You know, we don't have to come to a certain place. We don't mm-hmm. have to say, oh, he's going to be at 2727 Southwest 119th, although
right.
we certainly believe that
he's definitely here.
we just know that there's more places that, but
yeah.
people don't have to flock to the church's address
Mm-mm.
for Jesus to come and
yes.
dance with them.
Oh, he's so good. It's so good. Okay, any thoughts for you? Any other thoughts on the chorus?
No, we can come back again because
mm-hmm.
we got four more verses and four more choruses.
That's exactly right. So on verse 2, it's like we're moving into what Jesus did during his life and in his ministry. So
mm-hmm.
it says, I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they would not follow me. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came to me and the dance went on. And part of what I love about this is here you see this complete crazy thought that here you've got the religious folk.
Yep.
And I was just studying this the other day, that the Pharisees, when you think about this time in history, it was the Pharisees that were really trying to keep the law.
They really were.
And we give them such a bad rap because
mm-hmm.
they get into trouble with Jesus because they're so focused on the law. But when you look at the time before Jesus came, you had all these prophets who were calling people back to God who were breaking the law of God.
Right.
So then you've got the Pharisees who were actually trying to keep the law of God. They
yeah.
were trying to do what the prophets had said to do. So, you know, Pharisees get such a bad rap, really, because then when God showed up in flesh and blood, they wouldn't accept him.
Right.
And that's so sad. Like when he says, I danced for them, but they wouldn't dance and
yeah.
they wouldn't follow me.
Yeah. And one of the things I think of, you know, one of the teachings I've heard about the Pharisees is that they were zealous for the law and they unfortunately, I think they went too far because
yeah.
they were really trying to get people to live holy lives.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, Christians can do that today too.
Yes.
We can get so focused on trying to help people live right, and by living right, what that would entail is don't have these sinful behaviors.
Yeah.
But people you know, people that do not know Christ, we should not expect them to live like Christ.
Yes,
you know?
I mean,
we hope that because we know Christ, we're continually trying to live more like Jesus. But the Pharisees actually believed that if people would just keep the law for one day, if all Jews everywhere could just keep the law for one day, then the Messiah would come.
Yeah.
And they were so anxious for Messiah to come. And again, they didn't really understand the Messiah would be a suffering servant, even though the prophets had said that.
Yeah.
They believed the Messiah would be a military leader.
Yeah.
And so when Jesus came and he was different, they were locked into their belief system and they just could not believe. And the scribes, they're the ones writing down all this stuff that the people are supposed to know and remember.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And so when Jesus preaches a Sermon on the Mount and he says, you know, you have heard it said, but I say to you, immediately that puts him in conflict with these teachers of the law.
Yeah.
People are teaching people how to live. And now here's this other guy saying, no, this is what you need to know.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things I have to remember in my ministry. I actually read an article this morning on three things Christians need to know that non-Christians hate about us.
Oh, interesting.
And nothing was really surprising. I think I only remember two of the three. But, you know, the first one was being, you know, they don't like it when we judge.
Yeah.
And the second one was they don't like it when we're hypocrites, you know, that we'll judge you for doing this, but then we'll do it
too. But then we'll do it too, right.
Yeah. And so...
so interesting.
That's why, you know, us religious folks, and yet the way this hymn is set up, it makes it sound like Jesus came to them first.
Yeah.
That, you know, which I think scripturally is true.
It's true.
As a 12-year-old, where was Jesus when his parents couldn't find him?
In the temple.
In the temple with the religious leaders.
Yes.
And
I love that. I love that picture.
You know, it's...
Yes.
And so... but he didn't come just for the religious leaders. Mm-hmm. He didn't come to recruit and equip and say, okay, leaders, now this is what you go out and do.
Right.
No, he also came for the common person.
The fisherman.
The fisherman for James and John. And, you know, you can feel that. And he came for the tax collector. He, you know.
Yeah.
It's so good. Amazing.
Well, and what you're saying continues to put forth in my mind that salvation comes through relationship.
Right.
It does not come through keeping the law. And we get this so backwards. I think so many people who look at the Christian community from the outside of it often think, well, they just have a bunch of rules they're supposed to follow, and God just wants you to follow rules, and then you'll be saved, which it's so wrong, because we're not saved by following the rules. We're saved through relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
And then in response to that love, we want to be holy.
Yeah.
We want to be made like God, but we can't do that on our own.
Yeah, by faith, Abraham believed, and God credited it to him as righteousness.
As righteousness, exactly.
Well, let's look at verse 3. Take us to verse 3.
Okay, so verse 3 says, and we're kind of continuing through his ministry, but then we lead to the crucifixion. So it says, I danced on the Sabbath, and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped, and they stripped, and they hung me high, and they left me there on the cross to die. And we were talking about this just a few minutes ago before we pushed record, that it's so ironic in this verse and then in the verse we do after this, that as they're talking about hanging, whipping, stripping his body, hanging on the cross to die, that the tune of this is still very upbeat.
Yeah.
Like it's still very like happy and celebratory.
They whipped and they stripped and they hung me.
Yeah.
Doesn't really fit the narrative at that point.
It really doesn't. But I love this because, again, we're seeing the fact that that Jesus came and kind of broke the mold of what everybody thought God was.
Right.
And he actually showed them the meaning of God, and then they didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, and again, I danced on Sabbath and cured the lame. That was one of the first accusations where the Pharisees began to say, you know, this guy does not keep the law.
Yeah, he's not keeping
the law. That was their big thing. He does not keep the law. And of course, then it was like, he is blaspheming and he is possessed of the devil and all these things. They were so, they felt so violated by everything Jesus was doing that it led them to the place of accusation and ultimately then conspiracy.
Yes.
We got to get better that one person die than all of us die. And so that's what that, you know, I did these things and they accused me of being something, but now... they're going to kill me for this.
Yeah.
You know, depending on your look, maybe they didn't kill me. They made sure Rome killed me by saying, he says he's a king.
Yeah.
There's no king but Caesar.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's so interesting, too, when you think about the lawgivers, the law keepers, and how strict they were about this. But then you've got all the other people from the richest to
right.
the poorest, from the Jew to the Gentile, everybody coming from every level of society, and they see something in Jesus that is different that they want.
Right.
And I love that. And so because you think about the people who were there at the foot of the cross when he was crucified, and the Roman soldier who says, well, this definitely was the Son of God.
Right.
The criminal that, you know, the criminals that were to his left and his right, and the one that says, this guy hasn't done anything wrong. You know, save a place for me in paradise when you go. And then you've got the women who were cast out of society and nobody liked them or thought
right.
that they were important. And they're sitting there and he valued them as well. I mean, it's just this beautiful picture.
Right. Well, and again, you know, I danced on Sabbath, and you know, this is one of those places where they elevated the law to a place it didn't be. It was almost like we can't do anything. And Jesus did hold them to their hypocrisy.
Yes.
So, you know, if your cow falls into a well, you're going to get your buddies and you're going to save your cow, whether it's Sabbath or not. But that was the accusation. You know, he healed somebody on the Sabbath, you know.
Yes. It's amazing.
Yes, it is.
So then we move on to verse 4. And this part I love because this is the sad verse. This is the dark verse.
Right.
And normally the way that the hymn is written, you would keep with this upbeat melody. But when I would call out, you know, 261 during the hymn sings at Leawood United Methodist Church, our piano player would start playing this verse in a minor key.
Uh-huh.
And it was a fascinating twist on this dancing celebratory song, then taking it to kind of this dark verse where it says, I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back.
I love that lyric.
I love that lyric too. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone, but I am the dance and I still go on. I love that.
When I hear that just musically, and I'm not a songwriter or anything, but it's like, minor key, but slow the tempo.
Yes.
Because this is sad. This is dark. This is Good Friday.
Yeah.
And or Black Friday, you know, not the holiday, but
the
other older way.
Yeah.
And we all feel that way.
Yeah.
We all say, there are those times when my life is so hard and so confusing, and maybe some of the listeners are here in this place right now.
Yeah.
We feel like the devil is on our back, and he's got us pinned to the ground, and there's nothing we can do, and we can't move, and we can't cry, and, you know, it's hard when we feel under that kind of oppression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they buried my body. I mean, again, very dark, very somber.
Yeah.
But then that declaration, but I am the dance, and I still go on. And for those of y'all that couldn't see me, it was the victory, hands in the air, shaking, you know, in victory.
So
at this point, let me ask you a question, because we haven't answered this, and we said we're going to.
Yeah.
What is the dance?
I know, right?
We're in verse 4 in a course, and we haven't even said what the dance is yet.
Well, I love it that this verse, he says, I am the dance.
Right.
And to me, that's deep when you really think about it. Because, I mean, I think he's connecting the dance to life, to true life, like abundant life, not just living life. And but he comes to this pinnacle moment here in this verse where it's not just about a dance, it's about him and the one who created the dance of life that we are supposed to enter into. And again, that he wants us in that, you know, dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. But what are your thoughts about it?
I'm the same place, because I remember racking my brain and I thought, man, it's kind of a metaphor. It's, you know, coming from the 60s.
Right,
it's,
right.
You know, it's like, I'm the dance. Hey, that sounds good. Let's sing I'm the dance.
All right.
But when I think about it, in the Gospel of John, we see all the I am statements. Jesus, I am the bread of the life.
Yes.
I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. Mm-hmm. We see all those things. But when I read this, particularly in the context of verse 4, it does remind me of that powerful statement that I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life. And even though they were hanging me on a cross to die, and even though it was hard to dance, I'm still alive.
Yes.
I'm still alive. You may not see me. They buried my body. They thought I'd gone. Uh-huh. Hey, but I am the dance. I am the life, and I still go on. Woo! Gives you chills.
Preach it. Yes, that is so,
good,
so true.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
I love it. So then as we move into verse 5, and this is, again, we move from this victory of resurrection on into what does our life look like now that God is leading us in this dance?
Right.
And it says, they cut me down, and I leapt up high. I am the life that will never, never die. I'll live in you if you'll live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Oh, it just makes me so happy.
Okay, so if we say the dance is equal to life, listen, it says, they cut me down, I leapt up high. I am the dance that'll never, never die.
Yes.
I'll dance in you if you'll dance in me.
Right?
I am the Lord of the dance, said he.
Well, and this is so good because this is wrapping up what he says in the Gospel of John when he's talking to his disciples. And then we hear this prayer that he prays to God, recorded as John records it, where he says, I want my disciples, all who will come after me, to experience the oneness that Jesus and God have together. We are one. And he says, I in you and you in me. That's what he says to God. And, over the last probably year or so, I have ended my prayers that way, my personal prayers, as a reminder that that's what God wants. He wants to live in me, and I live in him. And when you end your prayer that way, you can't help but go out and live. I mean, you say, I in you and you in me. Let me be one with you today. And that's the purpose. That's how you make life meaningful, purposeful here on earth. Because, friends, this is just the beginning. This life on earth is just the beginning, but it can be as fulfilled and as meaningful as you will allow God to live in you.
Right. And again, it's just such a beautiful newer hymn. It was written in the 60s. It's got that folk style. It's kind of upbeat, and sometimes it doesn't feel like the music really matches the message.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I love about the song is this is a song where it's the story of Jesus in a song.
Yeah.
And, as a senior in high school, I might not be able to explain everything that we've explained today. However, I knew the song, and that helped me to remember the story of Jesus. And there are other songs like that. The one that comes to mind is one that I think is actually less than 20 years old.
Yeah,
In Christ Alone.
Oh,
we sing that in worship.
So beautiful.
But it starts with here's who God is, and
Here's
until he returns
does.
Or call me home.
Yep.
I mean, it's a lyric that helps us to remember the basic story of Jesus and the basic story of our faith, all centered around the singular most important event in history, and that is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead.
Yes, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's exactly right. Well, friends, I hope that you have enjoyed this today. I would love for you to look up this hymn so you can see and hear the celebratory sound that we're talking about, because it's just such a great, great hymn. But one thing I would remind you of today is let this story live in your life.
Yeah.
Let God live in you and live in him. It's just such a great way to live. It's the only way to truly live. That's what he wants, is to be the Lord of the dance of your life. So I hope that you will do that. We're excited as we continue in this series. We'll look at another song next week, and we'll probably put another hymn in here or so as well, which will be lots of fun. But we'd love to hear from you, so please feel free to contact us here at the church on our website, saokc.org. And just email DA or myself. We would love to hear from you, comments or suggestions about things you'd like to hear on the podcast as well. We are continuing to pray for you during this time, and we know that God is at work. Nothing stops him. He is the dance, and he still goes on. So I hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Hey friends, D.A. Bennett, St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. I want you to know that we are discovering some real blessing and benefit of digital discipleship, but we also want to talk to you about subscribing to our YouTube channel. Again, it's under the church's name, and you'll get some different video devotions each day. So if you're looking for another venue, maybe that'll work for you. God bless.